Hey, this is Max from the Arkells, and you're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Good. What's going on, everybody? We are live with Underground Sports Philadelphia, episode number 107. Kyle Bennett, Dylan Mazzola kicking it from Underground Studios. Before we get started, got to give a shout-out to all of our sponsors that make these shows happen. Main Auto LLC, just got my oil change there today, so make sure you head up Main Auto LLC for all your car needs. Huffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. What's going on, brother?
I'm here. It's not the nicest of days outside. It's a little rainy slash snowy, but we're here to talk some sports. Hopefully some positive news. Although it feels like Harper's never going to sign. I know that's probably everyone's first thought because, as we all know, Machado signed. What was it, yesterday now?
Yeah, Manny Machado is off the board.
Yeah.
So that leaves just that former number 34 from Washington because hashtag Harper went. We don't mention him by actual name. And how's your cardio coming?
Yo, you sign the contract, please. I'm dying.
Is that bad?
Yeah, I'm up to like 45 minutes now on the treadmill.
See what you're doing, 34. You're making him exceed your former jersey number.
I'm progressively. Yeah, I actually did start at 34 first day.
Dedicated to the brand.
But
shout out Alex McIntyre in the chat.
Yeah. I'm one of those people who, like, I like even numbers on things. So, like, when I'm running, I like ending, like, on an even amount of calories burnt, which causes me to keep increasing myself. But, yeah, it's all your fault.
Way to go, Scott Boras. Yeah. But, yeah, Manny Machado officially off the board yesterday. He signs a 10-year, $300 million, fully guaranteed, no deferred money, per Jeff Passan from ESPN, to go to the San Diego Padres.
I guess he wants to live on the West Coast, Kyle.
See, the funny thing, though, take it for what it's worth, coming from John Heyman, a.k.a. Captain Mad Libs, he said the one thing he told teams when he was visiting them is that he didn't want to be on the West Coast.
I think
and
I saw
look
that
at that now.
That's
look,
ironic.
Look at us now. He's living in San Diego. I would see, coming from my perspective, I'm almost Manny Machado's age. I'm 25. He's 26. If somebody threw $300 million at me for the next 10 years and said, you got to live in San Diego,
sign me up. Yeah, I mean, it beats living in other places. And I think he sees that they really do have a very deep farm system, and some of the guys are very quick to, or should be on the big league roster soon. So I think maybe, besides getting paid lots of money, living in sunshine, like Kyle said, I think he sees that they're an up-and-coming club. Not probably this year, maybe next year, 2 years from now, but, you know, he's doing the long approach, I guess, if you will.
I think the one takeaway I have from Manny going there is for him to be utilized at his full capacity, because everybody talks about Manny's bat and him obviously being a quality hitter. His defense is what makes him elite. You need starting pitching to be using Manny to his full potential. And right now the San Diego Padres have none of that.
Yeah, that's the one thing that concerns me. Granted, the whole prospect thing, they do have several prospects that are good, but they're not all ready to even play, you know, as soon as 2 years from now. Although I will say the Padres, with signing Manny, do look a lot deeper in the infield. They should have a decent time in terms of hitting, but like Kyle alluded to, I'm not sure how pitching is going to go for them.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I'm trying to pull up their prospect list too as we speak.
They had 10 on the top 100, right?
Yeah, they have the number one farm system in baseball because the top prospect list just came out this week, I believe. So we'll get to the Phillies as well. But the Padres, looking at their top prospects, obviously the most notable is Fernando Tatis Jr. He's a stud, and I think it's hilarious. One, the Padres stole him in a trade from the White Sox to get James Shields out of there. And then they stole Manny Machado from the White Sox as well.
It's true. They've done very well with accumulating talent. Yeah.
So their other big prospect is Mackenzie Gore. That's the number one pitching prospect they have.
Yeah, and the catcher, right?
Francisco Mejia, he's still a top prospect. I don't know how he's going to translate in San Diego as a catcher, but that's somebody they have. And then, they have some quality starting pitching to say.
They have a lot of pitching prospects. Yeah. It's like, what? It looks from, like, sixth all the way down to, like, 12.
Yeah, like from Mackenzie Gore being their number two, and then it goes 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14.
That's incredible, considering their top 10 guys are all in the 100, and I'm sure their 11, 12, 13 guys are right outside of the top 100.
And then 21, 22, 26, and 29 are also pitching.
So they've done the job, but the thing with baseball, especially more than any sport, is I think at certain times we get too attached to prospects. Rightfully,
hashtag prospect hugging.
Yes, rightfully so. Some of them are amazing or can be amazing, but like in baseball, they're kind of used in different ways. Like you either keep them and hope they turn out, or you kind of use them as a currency, for lack of better terms, and you cash in on a ready player.
AKA JT Realmuto.
Yeah, you see it all the time. Teams always cash in. So the Padres have done a great job collecting all these arms, but not to be morbid, but probably only half of them, if not less, will ever see the MLB, yeah. or an extended say, rather.
They're putting a lot of stock in Mackenzie Gore kind of being their ace.
Yeah.
And I believe they signed Garrett Richards this offseason to have him for next year.
That's a good move.
But other than that, there's no real, like, pitching depth on this team.
No, do you have it up? I'm curious of their bullpen or their rotation, rather.
I can pull that up. So the Padres...
We're talking about it. We might as well mention it, right?
Yeah, we're Underground Sports Philadelphia, but we talk Padres, too.
Well, it correlates to 34.
Of course. But what were your initial thoughts when you saw Manny going to San Diego?
I was honestly happy for him, because I know I saw reports where teams were lowballing him in terms of, like, they're giving him like 240, 260,
yeah,
220.
The White Sox initial offer came out, and I believe it was 240, and then there were it was 250, and then there was two option years for $35 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, like, I think... It's great for the Padres. He's going to bring in fans. He's going to draw attention. He's a superstar player. He can play third base. You know, he can play, kind of shortstop. But the point is, it's a great move for them. I was kind of surprised, though. Like, no one really thought the Padres were going to dish out $300 million, especially, like I was been saying, they're a couple of years away from really competing, or should be. But it's good for the Padres. It gives them a superstar to kind of like support and rally on.
Yeah, so trying to find there.
And it's good for us because it eliminates a big fish from the sea.
Yeah, so their starting rotation right now is led by Joey Lucchesi, Eric Lauer, Robbie Erlin, Jacob Nix, and Luis Perdomo.
So one decent pitcher, got it. All right.
And then their bullpen is Craig Stammen, Matt Stram, Jose Castillo, Kirby Yates.
All right, well,
their pitching is atrocious.
They're going to have a lot of home runs.
Now, the other moves they made this offseason, they brought in Ian Kinsler to play second base, who's kind of just a mercenary second baseman now.
mercenary.
That's all he really is. Manny Machado was listed at third base. They have Eric Hosmer. They have Will Myers, who's going to play I don't know where now, because he was supposed to play third base for them. And
possible trade bait.
Yeah, if somebody wants that contract.
Someone might. If you, they have a lot of arms move, they could, you know.
And then their outfield is just, blech.
Yeah. I think Manny obviously helps their roster. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see.
They have Manny and Hosmer is a good one, too, but you're paying them a whole lot of money for a team that's, one, a small market, and two, there were reports coming out this offseason that they were essentially, like, almost bankrupt.
Yeah, I mean, I told you this. I went there when I was in California 2 summers ago, and there was a decent crowd there, but there was a decent amount of empty seats, so I could definitely see how that's true.
So, yeah, Manny Machado goes to the Padres. The latest on that number 34 guy that we've been talking about, hashtag Harper Lent. John Morosi was on Fox Sports Radio today and said He thinks that the announcement could come Friday before Manny's press conference, more specifically 3 minutes before. Now, when you listen to it, there's a bit of a joking undertone, but then he kind of sounds serious that it could happen on Friday, potentially.
I mean, it makes sense the way this offseason has gone, and I think all of us have realized that Scott Boras is a very petty and a very calculated and a very...
He's a puppet master.
Yeah, so I see it.
So that could be interesting, that if it happens on Friday, the only teams that are kind of still in it are the Phillies, obviously, and then the stupid team in San Francisco that is almost going to get banned from being talked about on this podcast because
I'm not worried about them. I was watching Hot Stove or something else of that nature, and they were interviewing one of the Giants correspondents, and she was saying that, like, she definitely feels like while it'd be cool to get Bryce Harper, she definitely feels it's not going to happen. So if it's someone who works for the Giants who covers them, and she's saying that, like, it's not.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when I have said I want Erik Karlsson for the Flyers.
The Giants are the 76ers when it came to LeBron.
Yeah, that too. Like, both those scenarios we know aren't really going to happen. I would love Erik Karlsson on the Flyers, but it's not going to happen. So, it's just one of those things. So, Giants fans would love Bryce Harper, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, so there's that. It's all Boras speak. It's like I feel like Scott Boras is paying John Heyman by the tweet.
Dude, John Heyman's losing all his credibility, man.
Oh, my God, it's bad. I get on the verge of unfollowing him every day, but I know I can't because he breaks news because it'd be like that.
It's bad, dude.
It's bad.
I think
get it done.
I think the triangle for 34's contract is him, Boras, and then John Heyman.
Yeah.
Took a little triangle.
And then the other news that came out was on Buster Olney's podcast today, where he was talking about the potential for Harper's contract now that
I imagine it would be the same, if not slightly more, because Boras is petty.
The thing that came out that is like mind-blown emoji insert here is Buster Olney said, I wouldn't be shocked if there's a 4 in the contract, as in $400 million. And he said that he still thinks it's the Phillies. Me personally, I don't care. Like, do what you got to do. Get the man here. It's not my money.
That's a good point.
And John Middleton's got plenty of his own money to spend. He's a multi-billionaire. He put the target on the Phillies' back with the stupid money comment.
Yeah, I think that was a very honestly, if I'm being like, that was a very poor remark to make.
Back it up. Back up what you said earlier this year and get the man here, because I'm just sick and tired of people saying, oh, I don't want him. Just go and spend the money on Keuchel and Kimbrel. No. Because, one, you're not going to go get Keuchel unless... The only way the Phillies get Dallas Keuchel is if they get 34.
And it's if, I feel, if Keuchel agrees to a shorter contract, because we're not going to... Like, I believe he wanted a long-term contract, right?
He initially wanted a 5-year deal, yeah, but now there's reports that that's coming down.
A no from me, Chief.
But everybody forgets, Dallas Keuchel is represented by Scott Boras.
Yeah, I'm tired of dealing with this, man. So
I need, also, after 34 gets signed, hopefully by the Phillies, that Phillies front office needs to lock Rhys Hoskins up long-term, because...
Is he a Boras client, too?
Rhys Hoskins signed with Scott Boras this past offseason.
Oh!
I do not want to go through this again with our homegrown guy.
No, Hoskins will be here forever. I hate Scott Boras. I don't know what
like,
else to say,
I hate
man.
Him, but he's goddamn good at his job.
Well, that's the thing. It's like when you watch a TV show, right, and there's like a character that's evil or bad and you hate them, that actor or actress is doing a damn good job. So Scott Boras is the villain, and God, he's doing a damn good job at getting what he wants.
He drives me nuts.
I don't know how, like... The Phillies should know that there's such a small market for 34, and they could play his play back. Like, hey, dude, we'll wait with you, too. Well,
the thing is now that Manny Machado is off the board, the Phillies have no leverage.
That's true.
Because the whole time that this thing's been, you know, brewing and marinating is, hey, we have Manny Machado to fall back on.
And I could see Boras being petty, and if we're being stingy, or not stingy, but more calculated,
and
he could sign with the Giants for like
or
one
go back to the Nationals.
Yeah, for like a 1-year deal.
Yeah. And the
prove
thing,
yourself
too,
kind of thing.
Is with Manny Machado, Dan Lozano came back to the Phillies and said, here's the offer. Do you want to match it? And the Phillies said no, and that's when Matt Funtak's comments yesterday that came out and said, it exceeded our valuation. Sometimes you have to know when to walk away. I was like, Klentak, what are you doing?
That's bad.
Like, that, you can't do that with Bryce Harper.
300 mil for Manny is not...
I said the name.
It's
okay. See what you do, 34.
300 mil for Manny's not bad at all, because before he was getting lowballed by the teams, everyone thought both of them were going to make 300, 350.
Yeah.
So 300's right on the nose where it was. So.
And props to Dan Lozano for getting Machado the 300.
Yeah, mil. But like the fact that we weren't willing to match that would hopefully show that we're closer than we all think to getting, you know, number 34. But at the same time...
That's what stuck out in my mind, too.
The longer this goes on, the worse that looks.
The fact that they were confidently able to say, hey, no, we're not matching it, tells me... They are confident that they're going to get Harper.
I guess they also felt, looking at our roster, we have a better position player there in terms of third base for Mikel Franco compared to right field. Not canceling out Nick Williams.
I think the big thing, too, is that 34 is left-handed.
Yeah.
This team has no left-handed hitting besides Cesar Hernandez
and
being a switch hitter and Odubel Herrera.
And say what you want about... athletes being clutch, but Harper... Oh, Jesus, keep saying it, man.
It's okay to say the last name, because it's in hashtag Harper Lent. All
right, hashtag Harper Lent. He's proven to be clutch at times in his career, and he's also a big bat. So obviously, if you can add that, being a clutch and having a big bat...
And I'm just tired of people talking about Harper's numbers, too. Like,
well, he's battling injury.
He was coming off injury last year. He's playing... with a bad roster outside of, you know, a couple guys that got called up. You know, he's got Rendon, sure, and, you know, he's got an aging Ryan Zimmerman. He had a bad Daniel Murphy last year. Juan Soto is unbelievable. But other than that, what was really in Washington with him? Nothing. Yeah. They built that team around starting pitching.
Yeah, their pitching is disgusting. I mean, I'll be honest, but besides that.
That's all it really was. But, you know, yeah, looking at the Phillies and just who they have as left-handed hitters... Andrew Knapp is a switch hitter, who's your backup catcher, which who would have thought Andrew Knapp would be the catcher still on the roster from last year?
That's crazy.
Cesar Hernandez, Mitch Walding, who I never want to see on this Phillies roster ever until September call-ups. Dylan Cousins.
He's got a lot of power.
Odubel
but...
Herrera and Nick Williams. And speaking Roman Quinn is a switch.
Speaking of Odubel Herrera.
He got hurt today.
Segue.
Yeah, Odubel got hurt today, tweaked his hamstring, doesn't look like it's going to be anything serious, but he felt something during running drills, so something to monitor, and now your outfield needs some help, you know.
That's kind of crazy, though, because if it's, like, long-term, A, it sucks, but B, I guess positive or negative, depending on your view, I guess that kind of opens the door for Roman Quinn.
Yeah, I mean, I think Roman Quinn was going to be the fourth outfielder on this team anyway. But I think I
like him. He's fast.
And I think this whole Harper thing just continues to fester and everything is only going to be more of a mental effect on Nick Williams.
Well, Nick Williams,
who is also a Scott Boras client.
That's crazy. Nick Williams and for a lesser extent, Roman Quinn, because he doesn't know where he fits in. So like those two guys, they're every day they're checking their phone, obviously, because they want to see what's up. Because if we miss out on number 34, then obviously Williams is going to be happy he gets to stay here. And if we sign 34, then Williams knows he's getting traded.
Exactly. And for pitching. Now that Manny Machado is
preferably
off the board, Michael Franco spoke yesterday to the media in Clearwater.
I'm sure he's happy.
And this is what he had to say about the whole thing, including his take on Bryce Harper potentially, you know, being a part of the Phillies, if I can find it. Because it's coming from Matt Breen from Philly.com.
Oh, he's probably a happy boy.
He is the man, Matt Breen. Make sure you're following him. This is not a plug for Matt Breen, but he is the man.
He still is. Yeah, here I mean.
It is. At all, man. I'm just, like I say, it's something that I can't control. It's something that's it's not in my hand. So I know I listen to the rumor and all kind of stuff, but I just try to focus on my job, what I have to do to get better. And at the end of the day, whatever happened is happening. It's something that I can't control now. I understand I'm here. and I just want to do my best.
How did you hear about the Manny news?
I hit a VP over there, and I heard somebody say it's time for Padre, and I just hear about it.
Does this make you feel like you want to prove the organization right?
I mean, yeah, no question, man. Like, I know I don't want to take anything for granted. Just, I know the organization made me, like I told you before, an opportunity to be here and have some fun with my guy that I've been part of for, like, 5-6 years with the organization. I feel really good, man, for what happened right now. And I'm just really proud with myself, too.
Do you want Bryce Harper now?
Why not? Yes, why not? it's something that I can control. It's something that is my job.
Did you have any reaction?
Why not? Why not?
Why?
Tell him, Michael.
Not.
But yeah, I think Michael feels like a huge weight was lifted off his shoulders yesterday now. And I think, me personally, I'm still chill. I still have all my real estate on Michael Franco Island. Nobody's here. It's just me. I'm chilling. I'm sipping on the little fruit punch like that Pikachu meme. And yeah, things are looking good on Michael Franco Island right now, but I'm excited for him, and I think he's going to hit like 25 home runs this year. Hot take. Stamp it. It's not even a hot take. It's just a take. Stamp it.
I mean, it's possible. It's more than possible.
Exactly. Especially if you get Harper.
I mean, like, I've never been on the island, and you know that, but I've never been a hater of him.
Yeah.
I viewed him as a decent player. Obviously, when you look at sports teams, you always look at how you can improve. And obviously, there are players who are better than him, but there's a lot who aren't. So mm-hmm. keeping him is not a bad move, and especially because the kid we drafted last year, third baseman.
Alec Bohm.
Yeah, the front office definitely views him very highly, which kind of scares me, and you as well to an extent. But if they think that, then they're probably just going to ride out Franco until they're – Project Baby is ready to play, so
which is not for another 2 years.
Oh no, yeah. My point is
for everybody
keep Franco
out there. But speaking of Alec Bohm, he's now the Phillies' number one prospect following the trade of Sixto Sanchez. And everybody's new top 30 prospects were updated this week. So, looking at the Phillies' top 30 prospects now, it's Alec Bohm number one. Adonis Medina sticks at number two. Adam Haseley is now number three. JoJo Romero bumps up to number four. Mickey Moniak makes a nice little leap to number five. Jalen Ortiz, number six. Ranger Suarez, surprisingly, at number seven.
Cool baseball name, man.
I'm still on his hill, too. That's for the brand, just based on his name. Eniel De Los Santos is number eight. Friend of the pod, Cole Irvin, number nine.
Top ten,
who's
baby.
Also making his spring training debut in the first Philly spring training game on Friday. Shout out to Cole, hashtag for the brand. Archimedes Gamboa, another great baseball name, is number 10. Number 11 is Daniel Brito, a second baseman. Francisco Morales, number 12. Luis Garcia, who is the shortstop of the future, number 13. And no, not like J.P. Crawford. He's actually legit. This kid I'm very intrigued by. Rafael Marchand, he's a catching prospect.
Hmm.
He has been turning heads, apparently, in spring training so far, so I'm intrigued by him a ton. Dylan Cousins is number 15. Jose Gomez, 16. Kyle Young is 17. Spencer Howard, future 1A to Aaron Nola.
Wow,
he's
Kyle.
A stud, 18.
That's a pretty good compliment right there.
He's unbelievable. I can't wait for him to
especially for
be
somebody
up.
Who doesn't not even top 15.
He's so good. He's so underrated, too. David Parkinson is number 19. Drew Anderson, please
wow.
just get rid of Drew Anderson. He's number 20.
Randolph has fallen down the...
Kyle Dowie is number 21. Cornelius Randolph, 22. Please use him in a trade or for something. I'm not a Cornelius Randolph fan. Have not been. Never will be. Connor Siebold, I love his picture on here. It's in a Fanatic uniform with Redding. Number 23. Dominic Pipkin, another highly touted prospect. He's number 24. Kevin Gowdy, number 25. Hopefully he pitches sometime.
He looks young.
He's very young. He was drafted out of high school.
Oh, okay. That's why.
In the second round, and he was born in 97. But he looks like he was born in, like, 2007.
He looks like a 12-year-old.
Jordani Mezquita, number 26. Thomas Eshelman, number 27. Colton Eastman, number 28. 29, Nick Matone. And 30, Simon Muziati. So those are your Phillies' top 30 prospects. I'm intrigued by, like, more than half of this list.
There's some good names on there, man.
And
do we still have my personal favorite name in the obviously not top 30, J.D. Hammer?
Yeah, he's still with the organization. Right. He'll probably end up getting back in the top 30 once, like,
a guy or two
Drew traded. Anderson or, like, Cole potentially makes the rotation or something like that.
So maybe when we finally sign 34, we can trade Randolph, Williams, Eflin, and something else to get better pitching.
Yeah, you know, no big deal.
Let's make it happen. Our scraps.
Let's make it happen.
I'm down.
But, yeah, those are your Phillies updates right now.
Not much else. Obviously, it's not in season. They just started spring training.
We're waiting. First game's Friday, though. I can't wait.
I might go down and try to catch one. I try to see one every year. Tickets are super cheap for spring training, and might be able to see Miles Teller. He's usually there a lot.
His mom's down there.
Yeah.
He tweeted that out.
He's a huge Phillies fan for anyone.
He's a huge Philly sports fan,
but I think Philly is probably
He's followed by every Philly sports team, like, of the major four, except the Sixers.
Huh.
Sixers not showing him love. Flyers, Eagles, and Phillies follow him on
Twitter.
But
he's a very active Philadelphia sports fan, like Kyle's saying. So
he's the reason I get all my vintage Philly stuff. He shows off his old school Philly stuff, and it's beautiful.
So, it's definitely fun, though. I've been probably to, like, 5 or 6 games down there, and I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I need to make my way down there at some point. But one final Phillies thing, too. Brian Dawkins is a man of the people.
I saw that.
Tweeted at 34 directly, tagged the Phillies in it, and it makes sense because Brian Dawkins, if you remember, was talking to the Phillies prospects when they were up here a couple months ago. So he's in this new phase of his life where he's kind of just being like that, help you get your life on track, motivational
mentor
guy.
For all, right. not just football guys.
He views himself as an ambassador for the city now rather than just the Eagles. So, I mean, Brian Dawkins, hey. Ike Reese quote tweeted the tweet last night because, you know, Ike Reese played with B. Dawkins. So it's getting real out in these streets.
If Brian Dawkins tweets at you directly, like, come on.
Listen.
Yeah, you listen. That's a Hall of Fame
it's
player.
Getting real out in these
it's
streets.
A Hall of Fame NFL player.
That's Weapon X right there.
It's a legend. And he tweeted at you directly to get...
Do the damn thing.
To get your butt
Do the right thing.
You do the right thing. That's the important thing.
Speaking of football, though...
Blood's boiling now, thinking of that.
Another highly touted free agent is finally a free agent.
Le'Veon
Bell. Yeah. The Steelers came out today and said that they will not apply any tags to him. He is free. He tweeted, free at last, free at last.
He missed a perfect opportunity to use the gif of Dobby from Harry Potter. Or Dobby, right? No,
yeah.
not Dobby.
Dobby is a forward for the Calgary Roughnecks in the NFL.
Yeah, there you go. I was thinking of Lax.
But Le'Veon Bell is a free agent, and there are reports out there that he is seeking
a lot.
$50 million.
Woo!
In just the first 2 years
of the
contract.
I thought you were going to say contract.
Not total. Here. If it was $50 million total, sign me up. Yeah. That's nothing. But $50 million in the first 2 years of said contract. Le'Veon. Brother. You're out here on your birthday posting pictures of you playing. What's the new video game that everybody's playing?
Apex?
Yes.
Legends?
He's playing Apex, and then you look in the corner, and he's got this whole rack of rolling paper cones in the picture. Brother, we know what you're doing. It's reported that you've put on about 40 pounds not playing this year. He's apparently sitting at a crisp 260 pounds right now.
Big boy.
He's like LeGarrette Blount. Brother.
To come back as a new kind of player.
You are not getting $50 million in 2 years. I'm sorry. Maybe like 35.
He's not getting as much money as he thinks about at all because he hasn't played an entire year.
Which is bad, but also kind of good.
Well, it's good in the essence.
Just because of the position he plays.
That, and he's like well-rested, like that argument. But the negative is any athlete sitting out for a year.
You need game action.
Sitting out for a whole year, like he wasn't even playing at all. Like, you know what I mean? And Kyle just added... He gained a lot of weight, too, in his absence of playing in the NFL.
Hashtag Taco Bell.
Yeah, and 40 pounds is not... You can't lose
not
that
a
in a month. Yeah. You can't... I mean, you can't lose that in a month. Granted, he'll lose that a lot quicker than we can because he's very wealthy and has private trainers.
And it's February.
Yeah, he won't really have to. No. There's no like hurry. But my point is,
that's free agency opens in a month.
That's not something that he can just do in a month. It is my point. Yeah. That's gonna take a couple months of grinding out. So he's already behind.
OTAs are in 2 months.
Yeah, he's already behind in terms of not playing, and now he's very overweight.
And he's going to be on a new team, learning a new system.
Yeah, there's a lot of things stacked against him. I mean, it kind of makes for a cool story, I guess, and the other like aspect of it. But, yo, Le'Veon, you need to like lower your price down, or like lower some pounds and then lower.
Yeah, or both.
Yeah, both. Yeah.
My hot take is that he's going to end up down in Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. My hot take was that he might potentially hang out with future ex/new current teammate Antonio Brown, meaning if Brown goes,
they're both gonna get bleached mustaches.
Yeah,
well, dude, Antonio Brown is losing his mind.
I think someone posted it a while ago, and it's kind of weirdly true. When he got rocked and got hit really hard in his head, ever since then he's posted some weird or different things.
He's
had
like
different
TO
views.
2.0. Like,
I think
in
it's,
a way,
it's kind of. I mean, I'm not making light of it, because if it is because of the head injury, then he's suffering some sort of CTE, and it should be treated. But T.O. wasn't suffering from CTE, as far as we know. And I just feel that certain wide receivers, more so in any position, become, I don't want to say divas, but it just happens.
It's the diva position.
There's a lot. It happens.
It's weird.
But you have guys like DeAndre Hopkins who say nothing. I mean, every once in a while.
The GOAT.
Yeah, he's the best receiver in the NFL right now. Every once in a while, he'll say some like, you know, some sly stuff on Twitter, but he doesn't actively call out people. He's not doing crazy stuff. He's, you know, kind of just low in the radar. Which
he's the man. He's an alien.
Oh, he's good. I would sell my soul to have him on the Eagles.
He's so good. But yeah, Le'Veon is free. We'll see if the Eagles decide.
The Steelers
to...
want a first round pick for Brown too, right?
Yeah, they are not committing to actually trading him either. So he could do the whole Le'Veon thing, and we could be talking about Antonio Brown sitting out an entire season.
Yeah, but that hurts him more because
he's a wide receiver.
Wide receiver, I think, is a very overvalued position in football, and especially Antonio is what, 30 now, so
close to it, if not a little older.
If he sits out a year, he's coming back 31. I don't know how many teams are really going to want that on their team. Granted, the really good receivers tend to last longer, but there's no, like, in football, when an athlete hits 30...
Yeah, he's 30. He'll play next season at age 31.
Depending upon the position, but mainly in football, when an athlete gets over 30, they're crossing the hill, like the downward hill, for most positions. You don't know how much longer he's even going to play.
Exactly.
Maybe 4 more years? I don't know.
He's probably got, like, 3 or 4 more years of his prime, and maybe, like, 2 years after that, because of just the type of caliber player he is.
Oh yeah, he's amazing. Don't get wrong, I love Antonio Brown, but at the same time, Kyle said it. He's been very weird past, like, I don't know, like year 2 years.
Yeah, it's getting weird out in these streets.
I think it's just something in the Steelers' water, though. Like, they always have issues with players. I mean, didn't Mike Wallace used to play there many years ago, and they had issues with him?
Mike Wallace, Martavis Antonio Bryant. Holmes, Martavis Bryant.
Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell.
Emmanuel Sanders. Yeah. Like, the Steelers know how to develop wide receivers, too, which is why I don't understand everybody being concerned with Juju Smith-Schuster, like, not being able to be a number one wide receiver.
Well, thought process is like, oh, without Antonio getting double teamed every game, Juju's not going to do anything.
But here's my argument too, which I made this argument on our wide receivers podcast, on the Goal Line podcast. Make sure you check that out. Me and Mikey recorded that. It went up yesterday. You look at the Steelers and how they've developed talent.
They're great
at the wide receiver position specifically. I compared it to how the Eagles develop talent at the defensive line position, whether it's D end or D tackle. They're always just deep there. They know how to bring in free agents for it, and they know how to develop that talent, too. The Steelers at wide receiver in our lifetime.
They've had so many.
Hines Ward.
So many good people.
Antonio Brown. This is no particular year order, too. Santonio Holmes. Mike Wallace. Martavis Bryant, who I think I forgot about.
Mike Wallace. Now they have Juju.
Emmanuel Sanders.
I'm sure there's a couple more, like, we're forgetting too.
It's like 7 or 8 guys in our lifetime that are
above
number one or number two wide receivers in this league when they're not on the weeds. Martavis Bryant, Stephen A. Smith, that are just flat out dominant.
Yeah.
And you look, like, Hines Ward and Santonio Holmes were there together. As soon as Hines Ward retired, Santonio Holmes still had, like, another year or two that he was really good. And Plexico Burress.
Yeah, yeah.
Plexico Burress was a Steeler.
That's true. I forgot about that.
They look at, like, A.B. and Martavis Bryant together. They were good.
They've never not had a good receiver.
Yeah, in our lifetime, which is insane.
Shout out to their drafting team.
Yeah, they know how to develop wide receivers. So I'm not concerned for Juju.
That's why I don't get people are making a big deal out of it. Like, they're losing two players, but they have two super awesome, talented younger players in both those positions that are going to fill in the shoes. And guess what? What Kyle just explained, they'll draft another running back, another receiver.
They already have a running back, James Conner.
Well, I'm saying in addition to Conner, in addition to Juju. And I guarantee you, I'll put money on it, they might not be as good, but they'll be above average NFL players.
Yep, because that's how they do.
That's how they roll.
Speaking of more injuries, though. Because basketball's back tomorrow. Thank God. It's been too long. Joel Embiid out for 3 games with knee tendonitis.
Yeah, I saw that.
And Furkan Korkmaz,
he's out. Tore his meniscus. He's out a little bit longer than
that. He's got the Jake Arrieta disease.
Not telling your coach when you're injured?
I don't know how Furkan tore his meniscus. I'm fine with Joel sitting out, though.
You gotta rest him whenever he wants rest.
Let him rest. Let him get healthy. But
let him drink his Shirley Temples.
The Furkan thing is, like, it sucks because he's kind of our only other, like, bench shooter in a sense. But he's not good.
I was gonna say, like, he was shooting low 30% from at the three, something of that nature.
If that. I'll pull up his.
So losing, like, you don't want to ever see a guy get hurt. Obviously, but losing him really isn't, I feel, that big of a loss.
Yeah.
It hurts in the sense where you're losing a body, but Embiid will be back shortly, people. A couple games will be back. So once he's back, you won't even notice Furkan's gone. As terrible as that sounds, but it's true.
Furkan's shooting 33.1% from three.
And we're not going to re-sign him anyway after this year. No. So it's not a big
deal. Which, when he comes back, I wouldn't be shocked if they just cut him.
Cut him and then maybe
get somebody on the buyout market.
I would say, yeah, find somebody a little better on the buyout market.
Him and Amir Johnson, replace them with actual bodies.
You need to cut it.
Just gotta cut it out.
I'm down.
But yeah, they're both gonna be out for short amount of time and probably a longer amount of time with a torn meniscus in the NBA.
It's you kind of use that a lot.
Yeah, Zaire Smith was at practice today.
Oh, that's awesome.
Great.
I'm excited to see how he's gonna look in an actual like NBA game.
Yeah. I'm excited for Zaire as much as I hated the trade on draft night because Mikal Bridges
Although
is my boy.
Mikal Bridges really hasn't done much since the beginning of the season.
And then did you see this article that came out like late last night about
Jimmy Butler is friends with Mark Wahlberg's daughter?
9-year-old daughter is his, quote, best friend in the world.
Yeah, I didn't read it, but I saw it.
Friend of the pod, Ryan Jones, Jimmy Butler's canceled. And then Jimmy was wearing Zaire's practice jersey today. And it was like entirely too tight on him because they're two different body builds.
Yeah, I hear
Ryan was
guy.
Like, oh, Zaire canceled too.
people just blew it out of proportion.
This article is a little odd. I haven't really taken a dive into it, but it's the headline itself is kind of weird. So check it out. See what, it's about, but claiming that, you know, a 9-year-old is your best friend in the world when you're 30 is
a little
weird,
suspect.
Jimmy Butler. Little weird.
All the more meaning to give Toby the money and not Jimmy. I'm kidding.
Tobias better.
Tobias better. Keep Tobias and Bob on. Jimmy, you gotta go, bud.
Sixers on the front cover of Sports Illustrated this week.
I saw that. It was a good picture. It was nice.
Yes,
liked it.
I think we need to recreate it as an underground sports staff.
I'm down. I think we're a little bit lacking in the height column, but
hey,
we can do it.
Perspective, baby.
Yeah, it's true. The right angles, the right lighting, we're good.
I love Tobias' clap back at everybody and said, when the photographer says cheese, I'm going to need y'all to smile next time. He's the only one that smiled with teeth. I love the edits that everyone was doing. Franklin put himself on the cover.
Yeah, Franklin's a man.
Everybody putting, like, old pictures of Elton Brand on the cover as well, because the last time, fun fact, that the Sixers were relevantly on the Sports Illustrated cover was when they signed Elton Brand to his huge free agent contract, which was also when the Phillies were in the World Series.
Quite a few years ago.
2008. World Series, to be exact.
Yeah. I was at that parade.
And I also thought it was hilarious that when Tobias tagged everybody in it, he put hashtag JJ because he makes it a point on every single podcast he does for The Ringer. I'm not on social media. But yeah, it's cool to see the Sixers getting recognition for being good.
I mean, they're definitely good. This is they haven't been this good in a while. Yeah. So, and they haven't had this talented a roster in how many years?
Long time.
Long time. Yeah.
If you know ever.
Yeah, because
not in our lifetime.
During the AI years, he often
it was him.
It was him with two other decent players, and then the bench.
To say the least.
In our dad's lifetime, and there definitely had some good teams, but not in our lifetime.
Not in ours, so it's fun. Let's get some updates on the ice, though, because Radko Gudas is probably getting suspended, one.
Did they say how long yet, though?
Two games. Saw from Tony Andrikaitis. Right.
Yeah, I was a little worried. It's like literally the worst possible time for him to do a bonehead move. He's been so good with that. This year, he's drawn less penalties. He's been, as weird as this is about to sound, our most consistent defender the entirety of the season. Which,
not that I condone what he did. The way he did it was just like, when I saw it, I couldn't help but laugh. Because he just comes out of nowhere and he's just like, whack-a-mole. And
yeah.
Like, he looked like the priest, like, throwing yeah, incense but, on you.
I'm not disagreeing with the NHL. It's definitely worthy of being suspended. It's just really, it really sucks because we're crunching to make that potential miracle playoff run. And our, like I said, our most consistent defender throughout the entirety of the year goes and gets himself suspended for two games. And to make matters worse, the trade deadline's soon, and I'm not sure if you can trade somebody who's suspended. So,
yeah.
I don't think you can. I don't think you would be able to. It doesn't make sense.
I'll see.
So it kind of hurts in more ways than one. The only small positive out of this is that Myers is going to get in.
Phil.
But no.
The Flyers guy.
So maybe Ratko was doing Myers a favor. No, but he wasn't thinking. Gudas has shown time and time again throughout his career that he often forgets how to use a brain and takes dumb penalties. Like I said, though, this year he was doing so well up until that. I think Robert Hagg also got fined the other day as well. So. Flyers are choosing a wrong time to start. And a couple games ago, JVR was fine, too. So, picking in the wrong time to start doing
pigeon
some...
Pigeon boy.
Some suspect plays. I don't know.
Cam Talbot's alive, by the way, everybody.
Yeah, he's here, right?
I think he arrived today. Here.
Yeah, he's alive.
It's been 3,000 years. But he's here.
We forgot about that trade already. Brian Elliott played yesterday.
Yeah.
Not under good circumstances.
You know.
I ain't
mad at Carter Hart.
I wasn't able to watch the beginning of the game. I was at work. I saw that he let in 3 goals on 9 shots, but my brother was at the game, and he said that 2 of the goals really weren't Hart's fault.
Yeah.
So I think it was more of just a morale change for the team.
And I think it was more or less like,
hey, you guys failed this kid. Like, play good for Brian.
Also, it was more or less, hey, Carter, you're going to play Thursday.
That too. Like, yeah, get some rest.
Because we don't know if Kim Talbot's alive.
Well, if we get Oilers last 2 years, Cam Talbot, we're in for a rough last.
So when
stretch.
Is the trade deadline again?
The 25th. So it's Monday. I want to say it's 3:00. That's generally NHL likes the afternoon times.
So, who gets traded? We can go more in depth on this
closer
Saturday potentially.
Yeah, we can
too,
have,
but
I should be here Saturday. I'm off. So, who gets traded?
Your opinion, just. Not even for who, for what.
Just,
who on
just
this
on the roster
right now will not be on there February 26th. All right,
well, I'm not going to get anybody mad by these, so I'll say the simpler ones first. Brian Elliott, I feel no particular team, but a playoff team that needs depth at the goalie position might bite. Michael Raffel. Similar concept to playoff team. Once
tickets.
Bottom.
Get your raffle tickets.
Yeah, you want bottom six depth. He kills penalties. He's had 1 or 2 20-goal seasons, so he can score at times. Big body. Very slow, though. I also think, We'll see, because he got suspended. I thought Raquel Gudas was going to get moved because his value has never been higher. He's in a contract for the rest of this year and next year. You probably could get anywhere from a decent prospect to like a third-round pick for him. So him. And then most people have come to terms on this one, but some people are still not with it. And my last tradable player would be Wayne Simmons. The Wayne train. It's interesting I'm saying this because the other game, if he's traded, would actually be his last game ever at Wells Fargo. Yeah, it is kind of sad. But I have this theory I told my dad, and he said, "You're stupid." But it's hold on. But,
Billy.
Yeah, Billy. I said they're doing him a service, and they're letting him play in the Stadium Series, which is not a service if you think of it GM-wise, because he could get hurt, and then the whole thing's pa-poopy. But it's Wednesday. The Stadium Series is Saturday, unless it gets rained out. And
which is there? Is there a
chance of rain on both days? By the way,
what's the like postponed days? It's Sunday.
Sunday is gonna be like I'll look right now. Sunday, last time I checked, was gonna be like
that's the official day though. Like if it does get postponed,
Sunday is gonna be 64 and rainy. Yeah. So I imagine it's probably safer to have it 45 and rainy. They could move it to Monday if they really had to. That's 45, but they usually try to move it the day after. Mm-hmm. And no more because people fly in for this event. Yeah. And as much as I don't like Penguins fans, it would suck to drive from Pittsburgh to miss out on that.
But if it is on Saturday or Sunday, we'll be there tailgating in the F1 lot with our friends at 4th and John. So
I'm still deciding
come hang out
whether or not I want to buy tickets because there still are a lot of tickets left. And I feel for the reason we just talked about, there's a chance of rain both days. It's not going to be that cold, so the ice might not be in good condition. And it doesn't help. Like, people don't want to dish out $100+ to watch hockey in the rain and or watch a Flyers team that very well could get destroyed by the Penguins.
Let's check out the old StubHub, notasponsor.com. see what tickets are looking like right now.
I just checked last time I was on the show. Me and Matt were looking. He found a couple for like 100, like 150 or less, and they were not terrible seats. Like, they weren't nosebleeds. Right. I imagine you could find some decent deals because people are going to get...
Right now, they are from $80.
There you go. So there's some that are under $100. That's as the same price you would get for a regular hockey game.
Granted, these are upper...
Oh, those are the nosebleeds.
Sitting at $72, though.
Yeah.
For just the ambiance and the experience,
yeah,
ain't too bad.
My point is, though, if you have a little bit of a bigger wallet, you can probably spend, like I was saying, in the $150 to $200 range.
We got $104. In the corner in section 132.
Send me that after the show's over. Well, I think you found your answer if I'm going
row
to the
20,
game.
104.
Yeah, the thing with this is people aren't...
We got opposite side 103.
People aren't dumb. The better seats are in the middle.
Oh, totally.
That's why those ones are all super expensive still. But
we got $99.99 in the end
zone. That's what I'm saying, man.
$88.93 in the end zone.
Should we take a podcast from there? Yeah, but tickets keep going down.
This is intriguing. I feel like
see,
Poppy
what the,
on...
See what the middle ones are, that's how I care about. Yeah. Actually, it's not terrible,
terrible
either. Okay. Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to the game.
brother. We've got pseudo, like, off to the left center ice for...
How much does StubHub charge for fees,
ticket.
Though?
Let me filter these with fees.
Because I know SeatGeek, like, I was looking, and the fees are like $40, man.
Where we had... Those, I mean, it's still kind of like in the hundreds, but
and still not bad for what it was. It was more expensive the other day. That's so.
Yeah.
So I think the philosophy is for any of you people who are like me and did not buy a ticket and are procrastinating, it's not hurting in our case to wait wait it out.
And that's just StubHub too. There's plenty of other.
There's SeatGeek and other things.
Website game
but that's
time.
That's a lot of tickets still available, right, for a big event? Like
definitely.
I'm surprised that
definitely.
We're a couple days
let's
out.
Let's see what Game Time has, but. There was a trade. Tonight.
There was.
Charlie Coyle got traded from Chuck Fletcher's old team to the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
Along with somebody else, correct?
Well, I think it was just Coyle for Donato and a fifth-round pick.
Okay.
I'm going to double-check right now.
But there was speculation that Fletcher was doing the thing.
Gonna get his old boy
and getting his old boy, but...
Yeah, wild trade Charlie Coyle to Bruins for Ryan Donato, fifth-round pick. Which is interesting because the Bruins are not scoring. And Charlie Coyle is a guy who time and time again has kind of flashed what could be or can be. Because he's only 26. I don't want to seal him off. But he's not an overly, you know, offensive dynamo. So it's an interesting trade. But I think Donato wasn't doing that well this year compared to last year. So
interesting.
Yeah, it says here, the article, after increasing his point total every season from his rookie season to 2016-17, Coyle has dropped the last two seasons. He's got a cap hit of 3.2. So, and Donato's a lot younger. He's 22.
Right. So does the big fish get traded, or do we kind of get poo-pooed on that? All pun intended, Artemi Panarin. Does he get traded?
I can't believe Tortorella said that. Like, came out and said...
Pooped his pants, guys.
What coach does that? Well, I guess Tortorella is probably
the one and only coach that would do that.
I'm not even going to lie. Me and my dad are part of his like low-key fan club. I very much enjoyed his antics from an evil, like crazy point of view, because he's nuts.
He is insane.
I remember the one time I told you he wasn't feeling good, so he broke the tradition. For anyone who doesn't know or doesn't watch hockey, the coaches always wear suits, and he came out after like the first intermission in a hoodie, and his reasoning was, I didn't feel good. So like, that's, I think he was the first player, like, or first coach to ever like not wear a suit or like business attire. So Tortorella is often in the news, not for good things, but that's what he is.
Pooped his pants.
He's crazy.
Speaking of not good things with hockey, this podcast is officially putting somebody in the wall of shame and in the naughty corner. Screw you, Don Cherry. Screw you.
Oh, for the bunch of jerks thing?
Yeah.
I love it.
Shout out to the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm getting one of those shirts.
They're clapping back. You saw the shirts, right?
I'm getting one of those shirts.
So for people don't know, the Hurricanes do this thing after every home game.
It's fantastic.
Where they just do celebrations. Like last time they were mocking, they were recreating baseball, and they're doing a pitch, and like,
beautiful.
Dougie Hamilton was the pitcher, and he was acting like an angry pitcher. And, you know, it's really cool. And they, like, spray water on themselves.
They do, like, rowboats.
Yeah, they do all kinds of sellies, all kinds of celebrations. And most people are okay with it or like it. And Carolina, it's no secret. They don't have a big fan base. I mean, they're doing it to have fun and to also draw younger crowds back into the sport. And I think they're just doing it to also have a good time.
And it's a fantastic job the way they're doing it.
Yeah, it's
awesome. Also funny, too. Brooke said that whoever was acting as the batter had the Malkin swing down pat.
That's great. Way to go, Brooke. But I think the batter was Fogel. I'm not sure. I know the pitcher was Dougie Hamilton. But
Don Cherry.
So Don Cherry, as most hockey fans know, is a senile old man who wears very interesting clothing.
Who looks like a villain from Rush Hour.
Yeah, it's ironic when he calls somebody a bunch of jerks, and basically, from what I get, is he's like talking down on them as men almost. Like he's saying, mm-hmm. like, why are you doing that? But here's a guy who, while making those remarks, is wearing a suit with seahorses on it.
Yeah.
Like, seahorses. Like, we're not even talking like Cam Newton, like fashion risk.
Or
like
Russell
wearing,
Westbrook.
Yeah,
or
wearing
DeAndre
like
Hopkins.
Wearing a weird suit, like an off color, but still a suit. My man has seahorses on his suit.
He's got the weirdest outfits.
And he has the audacity to say that these players having fun at home
shouldn't be happening.
But, like Kyle said, Carolina has clapped back, and they have made shirts with the saying on it. Their Twitter bio, I believe, says, just a bunch of jerks playing hockey, or something along those lines.
That's the case. I am... I'm like very.
The players intrigued. Are all for it. Most people are all for it because no one really likes Don Cherry.
He's such a bum. Like, there was no need for him to say it.
He's kind of like that crazy, like uncle or grandparent you have in the family. You kind of have to put up with.
Their Twitter bio is that bunch of jerks with the fun celebration. Shout out to them.
And the best part is, as a Flyers fan, if we don't make it, I want them to get in the playoffs just so they can do that in the playoffs, because Don Cherry will go berserk.
Go all the way. If the Flyers don't make it, they need to win the Stanley Cup. I don't even care.
they need to celebrate their way to the cup.
I will back it 1,000,000% all day, every day. It's on brand. It's just a bunch of jerks.
It's cool. I like how they've stuck with their guns and they haven't backed down and they have a big following.
It's great. I'm all about it.
I mean, what sports without a little celebration, you know?
You need it. You need it.
You need sellies.
That's why you need baseball players doing bat flips.
Yeah. I was actually just watching before I came here a video of all like the pranks they do in the dugouts, like the hat with the and the fire foot.
The best was when they would just take Adrian Beltre's hat and he would almost swing at them. And there's compilation videos of
every time. The video was like 20 minutes long, and it's funny you mentioned him. Yeah. Probably 10 minutes of it was Adrian Beltre.
It's great.
My favorite scene of him ever, like a little off topic from hockey, is when they're meeting like at the mound, and he throws his glove at, I don't know what player.
I think it was Elvis Andrews.
Yeah, he's not a bad player, and throws his glove at him. The umpires were just laughing.
I love it.
It's great, though. But so, celebrating in a sport is something that should not be made fun of or ridiculed or like it's natural. Like if you do something good, you want to be happy.
Exactly.
You
That's show why emotion. Baseball had the whole "let the kids play" playoff commercial last year, even though they're being hypocritical and not forcing the Blue Jays to.
Flag. That's a topic for a whole episode.
I could do a whole 2-hour rant on that.
Why I think I feel I'm a proud dynasty owner of Vlad, and I'm not going to probably keep him because the Blue Jays are
terrible, absolutely terrible. But one thing we forgot to touch on Saturday was Funko, as you can see. Hashtag not a sponsor.
Oh, they have a lot coming out, man.
We have them on our table here. They have a ton coming out, and there's more that we have to add because there's a Ben Simmons pop now. There's an Aaron Nola pop, finally.
That's awesome.
And there's a new Philly Fanatic in the powder blue uni that we just obviously have to add to the collection. Funko. As you can see, Wayne Simmons is the only flyer that we have.
I think they actually have a Claude Giroux one. It's not new, but I think they actually have one.
I have to look this up. But
I'm pretty sure because I saw it. I was going to buy it for us, but it was way over priced because it was like the last one. But I'm pretty sure they have it.
We need a gritty pop.
I'm going to check Amazon. Yeah, dude, that's... What were they thinking? Like, Gritty is a...
Where is him?
National treasure at this point.
We need a gritty pop.
Like, he's the real deal.
It needs to happen. We need it for our table here. And if it doesn't happen, we need to get you on the podcast to make it happen. So, chop chop. We need it.
Yeah, apparently it's a thing.
Oh.
Just going to add that to my cart.
Oh, that's new. It was released in 2018. Okay, yeah, we need to get Captain Claude on the table as well. Good call.
Claude
for
president.
I didn't know it existed.
Now we do.
I love the little C on there, too.
That's
fantastic touch.
Attention to detail.
Although,
they made him left-handed. And he's right-handed. But they do. Was Simmons right? Yeah, they got Simmons right.
That's funny.
Oh, Funko.
Hey, collector's item.
Yeah.
It's a misprint.
It's a mishand.
I wonder if it's just the picture.
No, I think I'm pretty sure that's...
No, I'm saying, like, I wonder if it's just, like, the way that they did the picture, and then...
Oh, yeah.
That'd be interesting. But, yeah, we'll be adding more Funkos to the table, because it needs to happen. We have double Carson, we got double Embiid, we'll have double Fanatic. You gotta get Claude Ben Simmons.
Claude.
And the Aaron Nola, but...
Gotta get my captain.
I think that's gonna wrap things
that's
up.
That's pretty much it. There's not... We're kind of in that weird
part of
the season where two of the sports aren't even playing. And
yet.
Six, yes. And
Friday.
Soon, yes.
Friday, baby. I can't wait.
The other two that are playing are coming to an end, and they're on the tail ends. Like, they're different ends of the spectrum, being one's a super, like, an elite-tier playoff contender, and the other one's...
A fringe.
Fringe, if not making it.
Also,
so.
Fun fact, too. Sixers are leading the entire NBA in attendance, so shout out to Sixers fans.
Yeah, and the Flyers actually aren't leading, but they're in the top five. I think they were four.
And
so shout out to the Flyers.
Friend
fans.
Of the pod, Chef Rambo, Matt Rambo, was named NLL Rookie of the Week.
That's awesome.
Shout out to the chef. But I think that's going to do it for
That's it.
This episode of Underground Sports Philadelphia. Shout out to our sponsors, Main Auto LLC, Hoffman Farms and Greenhouses, Ducharme's Pro Foot, Security 21, Wainwright Bernhardt Funeral Home, and Paul J. Gillespie Incorporated. This has been episode number 107. Fun fact, I was listening to John Barchard has never stopped recording, friend of the pod, John Barchard, in his Twitter bio, and I was like, you know, what is that for? He's like, listen to Dave Uram from WIP's podcast today, and I tell the story. So the story behind Never Stop Recording, and I have since added it to my Twitter bio, is you are not a real podcast until you reach 100 episodes. And today was Dave Uram's 100th episode of his show. So good to know that we're a real podcast. Shout out John Barchard. But yeah, I thought that was fun to listen to. I'll send you the link so you can listen to that. But shout out to our sponsors. We'll catch you guys on Saturday. We'll have a show. We actually have a new draft podcast being recorded tomorrow. We have to rename it, so it is no longer called The Draft Board for a bunch of different reasons.
Legality reasons.
Potentially. But we're going to swap that name out, and then we'll have that coming to you. Another Outside the Box being recorded tomorrow. We will be at Boardwalk Hall tomorrow for the Atlantic City Arena Football League team being announced. Pretty cool. Exciting. That we got invited to that. So make sure you're following us on the Instagrams at Underground Sports Philadelphia to kind of take that in. And then we'll be back Saturday for a live show. And then we will be tailgating with Fourth and John, potentially, weather permitting and all that good stuff. If the game still happens on Saturday or Sunday, we'll be there with Fourth and John tailgating for the stadium series.
Maybe,
so,
maybe we'll podcast in the parking lot.
Bomb, bomb, bomb. And then I believe we'll be at Xfinity Live, too, with Brooke and Alex of the Daily Puck and Underground Sports Philadelphia. So come hang out. If you see us, come say hello.
Like I said, I should be there, but I also just said 5 minutes ago I might be stupid and buy tickets, so you might not.
Stupid money.
You might
not. He's willing to spend stupid money. You need to be willing to spend stupid money. Get it done. That's going to wrap it up. We will catch you guys live again on Saturday. For everybody here at Underground Sports Philadelphia, for Dylan, I'm Kyle. Peace.